مدنی مذاکرات مدنی مذاکرات مدنی مذاکرات
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Tonight is the 14th night of Safarul Muzaffar 1444 Hijri. The weekly Madani Muzakara is ongoing in the Global Madani Markaz Faizane Medina. Booklet Blessings of Salat and Salam, saying of the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Number 14. Indeed, Jibrail gave me a glad tiding that he who recites Salat upon you, Allah Almighty showers mercy upon him. And he who sends Salam upon you, Allah Almighty sends peace upon him. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
My question in your court is that, can any saintly figure or anyone transmigrate into the body of anyone else? Kindly guide us in this regard.
No, this is not an Islamic belief. It's completely false. No noble elder transmigrates into an individual, nor does a jinn. What jinn does it, he sort of dominates the individual, which people normally refer to as being influenced by a jinn, whichever form it may be in. Transmigration of another creation into someone is not possible. Now, the prevalent notion that we find amongst the common people regarding transmigration is nothing but absurd belief. There's no base to it. Even if people deem him to be any noble personality, it's mainly because of lack of knowledge. It actually is a jinn who talks, saying things like, I'm this noble personality, my shrine is at such and such place. He's actually lying. We must not believe in it at all. And then gathering a crowd around it, asking questions to it. This is all wrong, to the extent that if someone carries a belief that jinns know the knowledge of unseen, then he will be excluded from the folds of Islam, because the Holy Quran denies it. The glorious Quran explicitly denies this, saying that jinns do not know the knowledge of unseen. Immense caution needs to be observed in this. They should not be asked questions. The news of the future, a jinn cannot give. And if the jinn gives the news of the past, how it happens is that whenever a newborn baby is born, there is an angel and a jinn also born with him. That is known as Hamzad is Shaitan. So, Hamzad stays with a person from the time of his birth till the end of his life, so he knows everything about him, that what happened to him, when, etc. So the practitioners of this field, you see, normally have mokal with them, and they do things through them. Now the jinn that is under the possession of this very practitioner, he normally gets in touch with the Hamzad, and after asking the Hamzad, he tells that this happened to him these many years ago, this happened to him a while back, and then people start believing that he, perhaps, has given the news of unseen. This is not the news of unseen, because he tells after asking the Hamzad. So this way people become his admirers, thinking that this practitioner has great ranks. They do have great ranks, but not the ranks of paradise, but that of Satan. This applies to those who do against Sharia. I'm talking about them. It's not that every single one of them is wrong. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
My question in the court of the Amir of Ahlul Sunnah is that, is it wajib to reply to a salam in a similar loud voice in which salam was given to the person?
Salam should be loud enough so that he to whom salam was made, he can hear it. If the salam was made in such low voice that he couldn't hear you, then a reply wouldn't be wajib upon him. And in case he hears the salam, then replying for it would become wajib for him, which will only be fulfilled if he replies with such loud voice that the person who said salam to him is able to hear him. And replying instantly is wajib. In case he delays, he will have to repent. His sin will not be forgiven just by replying. He should reply as well as repent and seek forgiveness for the delay that he made in replying to the salam.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
How is it to call on awliya Allah with a word al-madad, meaning help?
There's no harm in it. Allah Almighty gives power and authority to His chosen servants, and they do indeed help.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
My question in the court of the Emir of Ahlul Sunnah is that, let's say there are a few people sat in a gathering or in a room, and someone comes and says salam whilst addressing a particular individual, such as Brother Abu Bakr, assalamu alaikum. Now in this case, a single individual has been addressed and given salam in a loud voice. So is it necessary for everyone to reply who heard the salam, or only Abu Bakr needs to reply as he was addressed while salam was given in a loud voice?
In this case, he who has been addressed, only he will have to answer. Like it was said to Abu Bakr, in this scenario, it's only wajib upon him to reply, even if any other person replies, and Abu Bakr, who was addressed, stays quiet. In this case, the wajib of Abu Bakr will not be fulfilled, which will make him sinful. He'll have to reply, and there's no need for others to reply.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
What things will be accounted for on Judgment Day?
On the day of judgment, halal will be questioned for and haram will be punished for. For example, you earned halal wealth. Where was it earned from and where was it spent? It says on page 130 of the book entitled Hirs, published by Maktabatul Madina. Four questions of Judgment Day. Being careful in regards to how to earn wealth and where to spend it is also very important. The final messenger of Allah, the seal of the prophets sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, has said that on the day of judgment, a person will not be able to move his feet until he has been asked these four questions. Number one, which actions did you spend your life in? Number two, how much did you act upon your knowledge? Number three, how did you earn wealth and where did you spend it? And number four, which actions, deeds, did you deteriorate your body in? So different questions will be asked in different forms. The matters of people's rights will be presented. Decisions regarding people's rights that were abused will be made there. Even to the extent that the animals that fight each other and unrightfully harm one another, verdict for them will also be issued. Revenge of oppression will be taken even from an ant. Even a she-goat without horns, its revenge would be taken from the one that has horns in case it would have oppressed it. Goats at times also hit each other with horns. Decisions will be made between them, and depending on who oppressed the other, they will also be punished accordingly. After all this, the animals will be turned into dust.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
We have received another question that's regarding inheritance. The question is, can parents distribute their wealth amongst their children while they are alive?
Yes, they can do so, but we'll have to do justice here as well. They should not give less to some and more to some. And if it is a case where one child is pious and righteous and the other child will spend money in sins and oppressive actions, then it's a different thing if he is deprived of it and that share is also given to the pious child. Such scenarios are also found in this distribution. So inheritance can be distributed this way as well. In fact, for whomsoever it's possible and they have reached an old age where there is no hope of returning back, then it's better for him to fulfill this obligation during his lifetime. Even then, whatever comes into his possession afterwards, to the extent that even if he is the owner of the clothes that he wore, after his passing, even this will be distributed. Now, for example, everything was distributed and only a pair of glasses was left of the deceased. He's passed away and these glasses belong to him. Now this will also be distributed amongst the his. It's not that he has already distributed and whatever he gets now will not be distributed. Even what comes under his possession after distribution will be distributed in light of principles established by Quran and Hadith. Whatever belongings they may be, their clothing, their dresses, pen, watch, these things a person normally doesn't distribute in inheritance, whereas they are included in inheritance. So whatever monetary amount or belongings are under his ownership, after the distribution of inheritance, that too will be distributed in inheritance. It could be one's books, etc. There's so many minute small things, all the way from a needle to an arrow, plane. Every possession is distributable in inheritance. In our society, we normally consider is a property, a piece of land or a plaza, a building or a shop, etc. So we have a mindset of distribution of only big things. No, everything is of inheritance. No one can take anything from it. It will now be distributed in inheritance. And it will be in accordance to the principles established by Sharia.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
While offering salah, during sajda, prostration, one does not touch his feet on ground, one or both feet. What would be Islamic ruling in this regard?
During salah, in the state of prostration, the surface of majority of toes should firmly affix or settle on the ground. The count of majority will be 6, as there are 10 toes. So in case one foot was raised, then 6 toes did not touch the ground, in which case the salah will need to be repeated again. It will need to be re-offered. This is if it happened by mistake. And if it was done deliberately, then the salah needs to be offered again. It will be wajib to re-offer it. Even if it was nafl, re-offering it would become wajib. Now, in case both feet were raised throughout the prostration, then this is different, because it was obligatory for the surface of at least one toe to be touching the ground, which was not fulfilled. Thus, the prostration was not valid. Hence, the salah was also invalid. At times, people also keep the upper surface of their toes on the ground while prostrating. In this case scenario also, the same ruling will apply which I mentioned regarding raising both feet in prostration. The bottom surface of toes should touch the ground, meaning the part of the toes that touches the ground when we walk.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
How can we make our life peaceful?
Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innu al-qulub. Pay heed, only through the remembrance of Allah do hearts attain contentment. So perform the dhikr of Allah abundantly. Act upon the rulings and commandments of Sharia. Be steadfast in offering salah. Do not oppress anyone. Do not harm and trouble other people. Become a means of people's comfort. Help the poor and sympathize with the grief-stricken people. So if you spend your life in virtuous and pious deeds, then not only your worldly life will be peaceful, but inshallah you will find peace in your grave as well as on the day of judgment. And there's nothing in paradise but peace, which we will also get, inshallah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How can we protect ourselves from bad assumptions about others? Please give any solution and wazifa.
An ill opinion, it is a spiritual disease. It exists inside one's heart, where one settles an ill opinion and negative thought about someone in his heart. And at times, a person also utters it verbally too. So this is ill opinion. This is haram. In fact, in one way or the other, you can say that it is the backbiting of the heart. The heart backbites about someone. So a person should reflect and ponder that I'm having an ill opinion about him, and nobody knows that. What opinion have I established regarding him? But my Lord Almighty knows everything. And He Almighty knows my shortcomings even more than me. And may it not be the case that I'm held to account on the day of judgment. And the one regarding whom you have an ill opinion, you must establish a positive opinion regarding him. And he should tell himself that it is not fard or wajib upon me to think about him. Whatever opinion I have may and can also be wrong. In fact, he should consider his ill opinion to be wrong. The reviver of Islam, the Imam, the pride, the jewel of Ahlul Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Reza Khan, rahimahullah, states that to impute the action of a Muslim to a good opinion, meaning declaring it to be good and positive and having good assumption about it, believing that it's not as I'm thinking and clearing your mind from all negativities, is wajib for you. A person should incline himself towards this side, where he establishes a good opinion for the other person. And one should also ponder upon this hadith, in which it is said, حُسْنُ الظَّنِّ مِنْ حُسْنِ الْعِبَادَةِ. Meaning, having a good opinion regarding a believer, having a good assumption regarding a Muslim, thinking good of him, is from amongst the best forms of worship. So, why should I compromise my hereafter by adopting an ill opinion? I should keep a good opinion, I'll get reward for it. In reality, only he is good who is deemed as good in the court of Allah Almighty. Otherwise, we do seem to look good apparently. But who knows that? What is our state and position in the divine court? Therefore, we all must keep fearing Allah the Almighty. Sayyiduna Bashir bin Harith rahimahullah says that the company of the evil creates ill assumptions for the noble. This is a very serious saying, that the company of the evil creates ill assumptions against the noble. And this is true, as when one adopts an evil company, they often talk against the scholars. Many people would have experienced this, that if a pious person passes by, a salah offering person passes by, then they will mock him and make fun of him, saying that, what does he know? The world has advanced and progressed so much. The man has reached and landed on the moon. And this Maulana, what does he know? He is limited to the boundaries of masjid only. What does he know? What knowledge does he have? What awareness does he have? He only knows certain rulings. He doesn't know anything. So the worldly gatherings are normally seen to be discussing these kinds of topics and discussion points as well. And those who are pious and righteous, you won't find this in their company. In their company, you will find topics like bettering the afterlife, avoiding sins, fearing Allah the Almighty, and loving the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So as there are several harms of an evil company, one of them is also this, that a person develops the evil trait of establishing an ill opinion. We find an admonitory declaration of Allah in verse 36 of Surah Bani Israel, part 15 of the Holy Quran.
وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عِنْهُ مَسْئُولًا.
Translation from Kanzul Irfan. And do not pursue that which you have no knowledge of. Indeed, the ear and the eye and the heart, all of these will be questioned. So up until here was the translation of the verse. It is stated regarding this, that if you develop an ill opinion regarding someone, then try to make yourself fearful in this way, that let alone the big punishment, my state is such that I won't be able to bear even the lightest punishment of hell. Nonetheless, an ill assumption is not a small sin. Its punishment is unbearable.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
My question in your quote is that, is it a sin to make food wait once it's been served? Please guide us in this regard.
It is not a sin to make the food wait, but the etiquettes are for one to start eating once the food has been served. To the extent that if bread has been served, one shouldn't wait for curry. He should start eating the bread. On this note, the better approach is to serve the curry first. Because generally, curry is not eaten on its own, and nor is there a norm for it in our society, whereas it is for the bread. Even a better approach would be to bring both together, so one doesn't have to wait for anything at all.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Viewers of Madani channel and present audience, there is one segment in this program, Madani Muzakira, in which we show a word on screen and then we request Amir of Ahl Sunnah to present some Madani pearls regarding that word. And today the word we have selected is relationship. Let's go to Amir of Ahl Sunnah.
Relationship, kinship. It means having a relationship of lineage with the wife or the children. So this is what it means. An acquaintance, an association. These are the meanings of relationship. Wedding, marriage. This is also referred to as relationship in our society, where people say relationship is established with them. We are in a relationship with them. The final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said that marriage with a woman is performed due to four reasons: wealth, lineage, beauty, and religion. But give priority to the one who is religious. So religion should be prioritized. A person came to Sayyiduna Hassan al-Basri, rahmatullahi alayh, and humbly said that I have one daughter who is very beloved to me. I received many marriage proposals for her, but who do you suggest I should marry her to? He, rahmatullahi alayh, responded, marry her to such a person who fears Allah Almighty. Because if such a person loves your daughter, then he will give her respect. And even if he hates her, then he will at least not oppress her. The beloved of Allah, the seal of the prophets, the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, when such a person sends you a marriage proposal with whose character and religion you are content, character meaning habits, behavior, then perform marriage with him. If you don't do so, then it will lead to a great mischief and discord on the earth. Nevertheless, a marriage proposal should be accepted by looking at the piety and righteousness of the other person, not only by looking at the physical beauty. Having said that, there should be physical beauty as well. This would make the match even better. Nonetheless, character should be prioritized. Moreover, it is also commanded to treat relatives kindly. So one ought to be nice and kind to their relatives. Thus, along with command for piety, the Quran commands us also to treat our relatives kindly. As is stated in the Holy Quran, verse 1 of Surah Nisa, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. Translation, Kanzul Irfan. Fear Allah whose name you mention when you ask of one another, and observe familial relations. Now, treating relatives nicely does not mean that you treat them nicely and kindly only when they treat you nicely and kindly and observe a good conduct towards you. As our people normally say that we will treat you the way you treat us. So-and-so treats us nicely, so we will also treat him nicely. Why should I be nice to him when he is rude to me? The final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, reconciler of relationship is not he who returns favor in exchange. Rather, reconciler is he with whom when relationship is cut, then he reconciles it back. Sayyiduna Abu Bakrah radiyallahu anhu narrates that the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, the sin for which punishment is given quickly in this world too, and punishment for it remains in the hereafter too. That sin is not greater than obstinacy and cutting familial ties. So you see, that is the consequence for it. So reconciling of familial ties is wajib, and cutting off familial ties is haram. In our society, people have cut ties on smallest of the matters. Brother and sister, brother and brother, mother and daughter, mother and son. Everywhere you'll find that people have cut familial ties for no reason, and they argue non-stop. So this shouldn't be the case. We should reconcile, taking the first initiative of ourselves. And remember that if someone breaks familial ties without a shar'i reason, then he is sinful and deserving of the fire of hell. And we should completely take this habit out of our nature that he treated me this way, so I'll treat him the same. Or when they invited us, they invited only one person from our family, even though it was first wedding in their family, and for me it's second wedding in my family, so why should I call his whole family? Whereas you should especially invite his entire family, so that you play your part in reconciling and strengthening the relationship. It shouldn't be a case where we say that we will only give them as much as they gave us. They should give what they can afford and we should give what we can afford. This way, inshallah, relationships will improve and get better. If one doesn't entertain us, then we should entertain him and give presents to him instead. It shouldn't be that he doesn't entertain us, so we'll not entertain him either. He doesn't give salam to me, so why should I give salam to him? No, be first in giving salam. I went to him and he didn't greet me properly. He didn't smile whilst he was talking to me. So when he comes to me, I'll be so rude to him that he'll never visit me again in future. So avoid these practices. These are all satanic notions. We are to wipe away an evil
with goodness, and it is also commanded in the Holy Quran, idfa billati hiya ahsan. Translation Kanzul Irfan, repel evil with what is best. May Allah enable us to do so. Ameen. Bijahi khatam al-nabiyyin sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Can we take loan from that person to whom we have rented our shop? Please guide.
There's no apparent reason for not being able to do so. If the tenant gives the loan happily, then his tenancy and rented shop will remain a completely separate matter, and the loan will be a separate thing. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
The one who missed few rak'ahs in jama'at, which surahs would he recite in missed rak'ahs while offering them?
In the first missed rak'ah, he may recite whichever surah he likes after reciting surah Fatiha. In every rak'ah thereafter, the sequence of the surahs will need to be considered. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
The question is that, for example, if someone took an oath for something, putting his hand on the Holy Quran, but wasn't able to honor that, will there be any expiation?
If the oath is taken for anything in the future, and the oath was actually taken, just saying that I'm saying this by placing my hand on the Quran, this is not an oath that is binding. However, we should avoid this practice. This very method is also extremely risky in case he is lying. Lying is a sin anyways. And lying after placing your hand on the Holy Quran will make its severity even more severe. However, it won't be considered as an oath. If he also utters the word oath, like he says that I take the oath of the Quran, and he has his hand over it or even not, this is now oath. Taking oath by Allah's name or by any of his attributes, or just to say only this much that I swear an oath, is also a binding oath. There will be rulings for this. So if an oath was sworn for the past unfulfilled actions, then there's repentance for this, not expiation. And if it was sworn for the future, and the person doesn't fulfill it and breaks the oath, then there is expiation. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
My question is, if while taking bath, if anything happens which breaks wudu, will we have to do wudu again?
If bath was taken the way fard bath is meant to be taken, in this case the wudu has been performed. Just be mindful of this, that let's say ghusl, meaning bath, was fard upon him, and during the bath his wudu broke, water was flown on a few limbs of wudu and not on some. In this case, it is necessary to have water flown again on those body parts. Only then the wudu will be valid. Otherwise, the wudu will be invalid. Because the action that nullifies the wudu of a person generally does not nullify the ghusl. And the action that nullifies ghusl also nullifies wudu. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
I've got one question to ask from Amir of Ahl Sunnah. What is Islamic ruling regarding giving human names to our pet animals? For example, naming a goat as Noor.
Names that are renowned and famous amongst people that they normally keep. If you keep those names for animals, then people will make fun of it. They laugh. And as for the names that are not that common, if such names are common for animal and people, then there's no harm in it. Meaning that it's fine if that name is kept for an animal, or even for a person is still fine, but this will be determined in the light of the social norms and customs of the area. Like Najm. Now this name is also kept for men, the meaning of which is a star. Now if the same name is kept for an animal as well, then perhaps people will not laugh at it. And now Iqbal is the name of a man, and if you keep the same name for a goat as well, then Brother Iqbal will be made fun of every day. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
My question is, can we take off someone's hat in order to wear and offer salah? Please answer my question.
Well, in this regard, if you have close friendship with one another and your friend has completed his salah and now you ask him for his cap, put it on and start your own salah, then there is no harm in it. And let's say that your friendship with him is not at that level and his feelings were hurt when you took his cap from him, then the salah you offer will still be valid. But the action that you just performed is an act of sin, as you have hurt his feelings and heart. Now you need to repent as well as apologize to him. And remember that wearing a cap for salah is not a condition either. It is incorrect to believe that salah is not valid without a cap. Such environment is spread across nowadays that people are generally seen offering salah bareheaded. It is not something good. If a person offers salah bareheaded due to his laziness, even then it is makruh tanzihi. The better approach is to refrain from it.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Madani muzakara. Madani muzakara. Madani muzakara.